You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Stagel here, and I'm so excited to talk about last night's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with my three favorite ladies, Jessica King, Pamela Peckerman, and Jackie Moran. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, Mari.
Hello. You're in Los Angeles, right?
I am.
So my big question to you is, when are you going to SOAR? Because I am already planning to go there on my next trip out.
I actually, I've been there before. It's my fiance and I's favorite restaurant. And we used to go there all the time. And before I started watching the show, before I had any idea that Lisa and her husband owned it. And so it was so crazy to start watching the show and to find out that they own that restaurant. But it's hands down our favorite restaurant in West Hollywood. It's the restaurant that we treat ourselves to. So we go there for every birthday, every anniversary. Such amazing food.
Oh my God.
They have the best sangrias. I highly recommend their white sangria in a pitcher. It's so great.
What a small world. Have you seen Lisa or Ken there?
No, I haven't. I'm actually surprised that I've never seen them there. We usually always go in the evening, though, and it seems that Lisa's always there during the daytime, so I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it. But it's also right across the street from my dog's vet, so it's kind of random.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you got to check it out and that you love it so much. So now that I know from the show last night and from your recommendations, I'm going there. Jackie, Pamela, are you going to plan a trip out to L.A. and the three of us can lunch there?
Game on. I'm going to be there in about 2.5 weeks. I think I'm going to have to meet you all there.
I highly recommend it. I'm excited to see what it looks like now with it, now that it's expanded and all fancy-smancy, so...
Yeah. I love the before and afters. It felt like an episode on HGTV. I mean, I just think what they did with the space coming from a decor perspective was amazing. And I will definitely be meeting you there, Mari, on my next trip.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we got to see the restaurant opening, but that was very, very much overshadowed by all of the drama last night. I don't know what was more dramatic between Kim's crazy, sad drug antics and Taylor's awkward therapist date post-divorce news session. But I guess before we get into all that, let's talk about Cedric. I only want to pay a little bit of attention to this because from my viewpoint, I really think it was staged and produced, which is stupid because there was so much drama in last night's episode that was real, that being like Taylor and the divorce thing, that's real, that's not produced. Kim, you can't produce that. You cannot produce someone to act that way. And Cedric, I just felt it was very produced. And, you know, a couple weeks ago in the news and gossip, I said that in a Star Magazine interview, he said that the producers staged it, and they staged him being friends with Brandy, and they staged him going there, and that Lisa knew all along, and that she was just acting. And I know that I tend not to believe Cedric and think he's a fame whore, but watching last night, it felt like it was very produced, and I just thought it was unnecessary. Do you guys agree, Jessica?
I feel like Cedric, we talked about this before, that he just wants his 15 minutes, and I completely agree with that. I think it would make total sense that, you know, I think last night Cedric looked like a fool, and based on the reception that he received, it would make sense to me that he might go to Star Magazine after that and say that it was produced and he was forced to do that and whatnot. But I think the fact of the matter is that whether it was produced or not, from the get-go, I'm sure he was completely willing to go there and get that attention. But on the other hand, I just cannot imagine how he would have the audacity to show his face there after everything that went down last season. And considering that he still hasn't mended the pieces with Lisa and Ken, and I was just in complete and utter shock that he was there. And I'm glad that Lisa kicked him out and asked him to leave.
Yeah, Jackie. He's definitely a fame whore. Oh, sorry, Jackie, do you want to chime in? Sure. I basically think that this is sad either way on Cedric's part. For sure, I 100% am under the opinion that it was staged. It just felt so fake. I mean, we always say this, reality stars are not the best actors and actresses. That's why they're reality stars. And to me, nobody pulled this off. I saw right through it, felt it was staged. But staged or not, either way, it makes Cedric look bad. Either agreeing to do it or doing it on his own. Either way, he looks bad. So whether it was or not, just all negative for Cedric on this scene.
Yeah, I think this might be the last we're going to see of Cedric. I definitely agree that the Bravo producers had their hand in this. But I have a feeling that Lisa was not in on it, because I don't think that she would sign off on it. That's my personal opinion. I think that Cedric definitely knew that he was walking into a situation. It's not an idea that he came to on his own. Something tells me he doesn't have many of his own ideas. But I don't think Lisa knew.
I can see that. I can see your point there, Pamela, only because I don't think that's in her character to agree to such staged things. But I think that the producers definitely had a hand in bringing Cedric there. But what I thought was interesting was Lisa was Little Miss Kick Everyone Out last night. I don't know how you guys feel on that. Obviously, I think she should have kicked out Cedric because that was for her own sake and her own happiness to enjoy the party. What did you think about her kicking out the waitress? Which, by the way, all I have to say is Eddie Cibrian sounds like a total dick. And like the phrase goes, once a cheater, always a cheater. So Leanne Rimes should be concerned, because not only was he cheating with Leanne Rimes, but he was cheating with this random waitress. And I just think that that's totally gross, but I don't know. I'm a little torn on Lisa kicking out the waitress. Part of me wants to think that it was, like, very classy of her to stick up for Brandy and to kick out this waitress because she knew Brandy would feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, that waitress has been with her for a very long time, and I don't know, that kind of puts the waitress in a really bad light. So she didn't seem to be that upset. I don't know. What do you think, Jessica?
I was completely team Lisa last night for kicking that waitress out, because I think as the hostess of her party, it was Lisa's job to make sure that her guests felt comfortable as possible, because after all, she did invite them. Granted, maybe if she had known, I mean, I don't know, it was an awkward situation because maybe Lisa didn't know the backstory, and had she known better, maybe she could have not had the waitress work that night or something, but of course it's all for TV. But, I'm glad she kicked the waitress out, and I thought it was the right move.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jessica. I am totally team Lisa. I think whether she knew Cedric was going to show up or not, she kicked him out very swiftly. No drama, like, get, just leave, done. Didn't feed into it at all. That's what I loved about that. And same thing with this situation. I think this waitress would have, if she had stayed, would have been put in a situation either from producers or whatnot throughout the night. I think it would have gotten worse for the waitress. I think Lisa was actually considering everybody's feelings in this, and I think it was the perfect move. And I love that Lisa did not invite the drama. And I totally agree, Mari. The only person looking bad here is Eddie Cibrian, because I agree, once a cheater, always a cheater. And I saw him cozying up with Leanne Rimes in Aspen Live all over each other. But once that hot and heavy thing fades out, she's going to be in trouble. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree with you, ladies. I think Lisa did the right thing. I think Rihanna needs to be, Leanne needs to be careful. That's clearly obvious. But I think Lisa handled it very well. It was to the side. It wasn't dramatic. And she executed it with full class.
Yeah, I do have to give Lisa a hand here, because She's the mother of the group, I think. She really looks after everyone. She looks after Brandy. She looks after Taylor. And, you know, that's why if she does get a spinoff, which is what I really think is going to happen, I just have a feeling because so much of this season Lisa was involved in the restaurant opening, the wedding, and, like, not so much with the girls' drama. And just based off of what she said in interviews, I really feel like there's going to be a spinoff. If there is, I think I'm going to miss Lisa in the total ensemble.
In the mix of everything.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely think Lisa stands out in that crowd just because of her dry humor. And, you know, I think she's hilarious. And when she's not there, it definitely feels like there's a missing factor. So I agree. It'll be interesting, and I'll miss not having her in the mix of everything.
The only thing I'll say is producers tend to go where the action is, and maybe Lisa had a lot going on this season, and obviously they needed to, minimize the Taylor thing. So maybe they gravitated towards Lisa's events, and she seems to be a woman who has a lot going on. So it could just be that they were covering everything she was doing, which might have been more than the other wives. But either way, there's also the possibility that if she does do the spinoff, that she stays on Housewives, and her spinoff is just at a different point in the year as far as air dates and tape dates. So it's possible that we won't lose her. I certainly agree that she would be a big miss on the group of Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's a good point.
Emma?
I'm agreeing with you. I think she could carry her own show. She's definitely very entertaining. Obviously, her comedic timing is second to none on any franchise. Her style, I think I get more press releases about what Lisa wore than any of the other ladies on the show. I think that her and her, between her entrepreneur and just her lavish lifestyle, she can carry the show. I'd miss her on The Housewives, so I'm hoping that they're not going to let her go.
Yeah. I do have to, for once, they disagree with you on the fact that Lisa is the funniest housewife, because you know I think Lisa is hilarious, and you know I've said this. I am counting down to that montage in the reunion where they're going to play her most sexual comments, because that was by far my favorite moment of last season, was in the reunion when they did that. I think that Brandy Glanville is giving Lisa a run for her money when it comes to hilarious, outrageous comments, because Pamela, you tweeted this last night, and before we get into all the drama, I had to lighten up the mood for a second. Hands down, I think my favorite scene this entire season was when Brandy was explaining to Ken that she called him a gay bull mastiff, and he was like, what does that mean? And she's like, it's a dog, it's a type of dog. And Paul is sitting there like busting up, and he's like, she's calling you a gay dog. And between Brandy and Paul think it was so funny, and Ken just being so awkward and not getting it, it made for, while I felt kind of like a sad bullying moment for Ken, I still couldn't help but laugh because it was so hilarious.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, I tweeted that actually as well, I think, and I just, seriously, they always do that, like that 1 minute scene where it's not really related to anything else, and then they go to another commercial, and sometimes I miss that because it's like right in the middle of commercials, and I'm so glad I did not miss that one last night because it was just like the funniest moment, and even her with Lisa's husband as well, just so funny. I have to agree, she's definitely competing for funniest cast member.
Yeah.
Definitely funny, but she's no Lisa.
I agree.
I mean, there is no comparison. I'm going to try not to be mean, but I mean, Lisa is a very classy woman. Even when she says something that's sarcastic, it comes off in a wonderful way. Brandy, just by the way that, I'm sorry, that she dresses or lack thereof, I'm not a fan. Like, I could probably do without her on the show, to be perfectly honest. Just not on the Brandy, wagon.
I'm glad that I think that she's going to be in season 3 just because she went to Hawaii. She's at these big events, which, by the way, I think Dana is not looking good for her in season 3. She hasn't been invited to anything major. But I'm looking forward to Brandy being on season 3. I just think she adds, like, a fun side to it, and she's younger than the other cast members, and maybe they'll start getting her dating next season. And I don't know. I think Brandy spices it up. You gotta laugh at her, you know?
Wait, she's married now.
Oh, well, Brandy's not married. Really married. That was like, she got fake married. She got married
fake
to
married.
A best friend in Vegas on New Year's and then annulled. But that's what I'm saying. She, like, does these ridiculous things, but she's funny.
I mean...
So I'm looking forward to her next season because I think she will bring the fun, crazy antics that Kim brought this season, but then turned so wrong. Like Jackie, the whole first half of the season, you and I would talk about, oh, what crazy, funny thing did Kim do this time? But now, like, this episode just was at the height of, oh my God, like, something is seriously wrong. And I really want to get all of your opinions on this because I think it's just me being naive, but, like, I couldn't understand a lot of it of what was going on, and, like, I assume it was drugs, but especially when she was in the bathroom at the hotel before she left and she was, like, searching through her purse, and then Ken closed the door and he was like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing, Jesus Christ? I'm guessing she was, like, popping pills because then the next scene, which her, like, crazily, like, going through the limo trash and talking about buttons and her dress was off of her shoulders and she was taking off her bra and the whole thing was like she wasn't even making sense. But, like, what went down in that bathroom?
God only knows. Literally, God only knows.
I feel sorry
watching. I felt like I was watching something I shouldn't watch. And I think this is a situation where somebody really needs to get off the show because your children are watching this. And you need to take a moment. I mean, obviously she can't because this is somebody that needs help. And I really feel like some Bravo producer needs to step back and say, wait, let's do her a favor if she can't do it for herself and not renew her contract. I know that I'm sure somewhere in Bravo land there exists a person who can step back and do that, and I really feel like they should.
And I agree with you. I mean, you say that there's children watching. I feel like we shouldn't be watching. I feel like the poor girl is being exposed, and like we've already established, she obviously needs help. And so I don't think it's fair that we're showing her at this point in her life. And you know, at some point, you know, now that she's out of rehab and I'm sure she's doing much better, she's probably watching this just appalled at herself and her actions. And it sucks that, you know, the whole world had to watch her go through that on national television. And like you said, that no one stopped it, that no one stopped that footage from airing. And I don't know, I feel really bad. And like you said, I feel like we should not be watching that.
Yeah, it's like watching, it's like going from funny to, you know, like scary and dark, which is obviously what Taylor has been this whole season for me, was just like a dark storyline. And I think Kim is competing hand in hand right now with who should not be returning next season just for their own personal well-being. You know, the only positive I might say for Kim having this all play out is that maybe this could act as her inspiration to not, you know, if she did have a successful rehab stint, to not fall back into this mode. I mean, just put this any of these episodes on at any given time, if that were me watching myself, although I would never let myself get to that point, I hope, you know, I would certainly, it would be the best, one of the best medicines you could probably have is to watch yourself in this state. But certainly for the rest of the country watching her, not the best feeling probably. And I do have to agree, Mari, I'm so naive. I don't know what this was. Was it a prescription and alcohol cocktail? What, you know, it's like I'm so naive with this stuff. I don't know what it is either. But obviously her brain is just totally messed up on something, whatever it is. And, you know, it affected her, all of her relationships, but it obviously affects her relationship with Ken, and I'm sure we're going to talk about her and Ken, because I can't wait to give my opinion on that.
And even just looking at her, like, she doesn't look well. Like, looking at her face, and it's just so sad.
And actually, when she was getting her makeup done, I thought she could be so much prettier. Like, she looks like someone, like you were saying about Kelly, like, she looks like she's
gone through some stuff like son and this and that. And it's like, if you take that all away, I feel like she'd be the prettiest one on the show. And it's sad to see that she, you know, can't get it together. And, you know, that's just one sign of all of her issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just curious now, when the reunion happens, what's going to happen? Because I know she's out of rehab now, but I have a feeling when they taped the reunion, I know they taped it recently, but I just have a feeling that either she was still in rehab, or even if she was out, I really sincerely hope that the first thing she didn't do was go tape a reunion, because that is could not be good for your treatment.
Yeah, she's not on the reunion.
So I have a feeling, she's not on the reunion. She's not.
She's not on
it. Oh, all right. So, yeah, so she's not on the reunion, but I'm just wondering how they're all going to handle it, talking about her on the reunion when she's not there.
I'd like to see how Kyle's going to handle it.
Yeah.
Hopefully with
but
the
I do have to say... Yeah. Well, Kyle, I think, has dignity most of the time. This is what I'll say about Kim and Kyle. I have to see Kim's point here when she talked about last night. Excuse me. And she said that she basically said that in Hawaii, she wanted to discuss these issues privately with her sister. She wished her sister had knocked on her door and discuss these issues privately and not in front of everyone and not at dinner. And I have to say, I kind of agree with her there. Am I the only one who feels that way?
That's exactly what we were saying last week when you were out sick, Mari. We were saying that bringing the issue up at the table in front of all the girls was not the time nor the place. And it should have been a private conversation between two sisters, and they could have hashed it out privately.
I agree. As somebody with a sister, there are certain conversations you do behind closed doors. And I said this last week as well, is I feel that Kyle and Kim need to take those conversations behind closed doors. I mean, obviously you're going to give something to Bravo because it is what it is. It's a reality show. There's going to be a little bit of drama. But there are certain moments, there are certain conversations that need to be said between two sisters that are said behind closed doors, without cameras, without friends, even without husbands. And that should have been one of those conversations. So I do agree with Kim. And I think that Kyle sometimes stirs the pot and brings up the conversation, but I see it from her perspective because she only wants the best for her sister, and sometimes maybe she gets so frustrated that she can forget, and I can see this happening. You forget that the cameras are there, and you are just so flustered. You have to say this right now. Come hell or high water, you don't care who's around you. It's just coming out, whether that's right or wrong. Yeah, we said this, and I'll say it again. Definitely, I think Kyle, although I think she's feeling genuine things about Kim, and I totally can sympathize with her if that were my sister, the issue I have with Kyle is that I feel like she feeds a little into the cameras with certain things, one being the way she brings up situations in public, and two, with this episode, we see it again, her drama queen actions. She has such become like the drama, unexpected drama queen in these episodes. And yes, it's like strikes a chord, she says, and all this stuff, but she's so drama queen about it. And I feel like she does it for the cameras in certain ways. And that gets on my nerves with Kyle, even though I do love her. I think she's real. I think she has a good head on her shoulders. I think she's, you know, bold, and there's a lot I like about her, but I don't like the fact that she's becoming this secretly, like, sweeping in there as, like, this drama queen, especially, like, with the party when Kim showed up. Tears again. I mean, she's a little too much of a drama queen for me.
But the thing is, Jackie, put yourself in her shoes. Her sister is on drugs, and there's nothing she can do about it. And finally, Kyle realized, she said at the end of her conversation with her sister, like, in her confessional, I can't help her. She needs to help herself. But it was so sad. I don't know, when Kim first talked to Adrian, because she refused to talk to her sister, and Adrian was like, I can't deal with this. And she went over to Kyle and was like, Kyle, you need to talk to your sister. I feel like that's been Kyle's life, her entire life, with like other people being like, you need to talk to your sister. Like, she's the younger sister here. Remember this. And her entire life, she's had to be the older sister and try to protect her sister, and sometimes there's nothing she can do about it. She just can't help. And so no wonder why she's brought to tears on instances like that.
I'm often wondering, what do the other family members think when they watch this? I mean, it's not just two sisters. I mean, are they picking sides? Do they feel that this shouldn't even be aired, which I'm assuming they probably do, but there's just so much backstory that we obviously don't see, nor do I care to, because
that's when it doesn't become fun anymore. I think, Jackie, you were saying that it's just, it's a dark cloud. It's not fun when you see certain things. I want to see them have antics. I want to laugh at Brandy. I want to hear Lisa's jokes. I want to see them spend disgusting amounts of money that I can't even fathom. I want to see them lavish things and go to fabulous parties and occasionally have some drama. But I don't want to see this. This is a really serious, serious issue that needs to be dealt with off camera.
Well, it's probably why we don't see any of their other family members on the show. I mean, they have a very famous older sister that we never see, and she probably just doesn't want to get caught up in the middle of it, of all the drama between her other two sisters.
Right. I would agree with that.
She did have her own reality show, though.
I was just going to say.
Reality show with Paris.
If she agreed to being on with Brooke Mueller and Paris like that, then I would say that's not the reason.
Yeah,
that was that show was certainly a winner. Oh, my gosh. You know, I see what you're saying, Mari, about that, and that's why I do think at times I do think Kyle's, you know, emotions are raw and real, but it's just like she does it a little too much for me. Like the way she puts herself perfectly in these positions to get the right amount of attention from the cameras, because when you are in a crowd with that many women and filming, you need to do this, otherwise you're not going to get airtime. And I just sense that little bit from Kyle that she knows how to work that, and so she turns things on a little bit too much for me. But I do that regardless. I do agree. I see your point. I see, as a younger sister, how hard this would be. And, you know, like I think some of us have said, if she really cared, she might not do so much on camera. She would probably do more off camera.
And I think Kyle and Kim are both at fault for talking to the other girls before, instead of talking to each other first. I think they're both to be blamed for that. Like, for example, you know, last night Kim went in to the party and she was talking to Adrian first, and almost, I'm sure if Adrian would have allowed her to keep going with it, she would have spilled her whole story to Adrian when she started out with, I'm gonna move out soon and whatnot. And before Kim got to the party, Kyle was talking to, I think, Lisa, and telling her that she hasn't talked to Kim since Hawaii, and she's been texting her and she hasn't been responding, and, like, you know, almost as if she was trying to get her on her side first before Kim gets there. So I think they're both to blame for speaking out first instead of just speaking to each other privately to begin with.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Ken, because he seems to be at least a factor in Kim's problems as the show's being aired. Okay, I'm kind of split on him, because part of me sees exactly what Kim is talking about, how she's saying he's so controlling, and he says to her, who are you on the phone with? You're a fucking liar. And he controls where she is, who she's with, what she wears. And you saw a little bit of that, because at the party, like, he just kept going everywhere she was and was like, you walk me for a second. But on the other hand, I do have to say that Ken doesn't know anyone at that party, and Kim does, and Ken is not used to being snooped on a reality show. So I understand why he might be kind of clingy to her at the party, because he doesn't know anyone. He's not from that world. He doesn't even live in Beverly Hills. He's so far from that world that even though that Brandy comment with the gay bull mastiff was hilarious, I kind of felt bad for him, because he's like not from that world. And so I think that his controlling nature, while I can see it, I think that was exaggerated in last night's episode.
I completely agree with you, and I think we're not seeing completely both sides of it. Like we've all mentioned, it is reality TV. But I was so glad when Kim started talking to Kyle, and Kyle threw out there, you know, you are kind of difficult to deal with as well, Kim. So I have a feeling that it's probably both of them getting on each other's nerves, and we're just seeing the Ken side of it, especially back in the hotel when we were watching. And she was like, can you get me a soda? Ugh, there's no ice. And then she had the nerve to complain, like, we're just not getting along, as if it was like his fault that he didn't bring her ice, you know? And that was like really bothering her. And it's like, can you charge my phone? Can you do this? And so I think there's definitely a lot to it that we're not seeing. And I agree, that's got to be really tough for him to be in that environment and being filmed and not know anyone. And she definitely didn't seem to be trying or caring at all to try to keep him company or make him feel comfortable or welcome or anything of the sort. So that's got to be tough in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be hearing you ladies say this, and a little bit surprised because I think coming from last week, I think we were kind of really anti-Ken. But honestly, I came to the same conclusion, and I'm so happy we're all kind of seeing this because I do feel bad for Ken because he had no chance here. Kim's the star. If they're both at fault, the person they're going to make look bad is going to be Ken over Kim. And look at, as you pointed out, Jessica, in the beginning, how annoying she was. And if you were dating a loose cannon like that and you cared about that person, how would you act with them? You would probably try to control them in hopes of making them on the ball and better. So I don't know Ken's background. I don't know if he's being controlling because he's a controlling freak, like mafia kind of, you know, mentality, or if because he cares about her and he's trying to, you know, make her on the ball and better and you know, on target, like the way he was trying to get her out the door and stuff. It made him sound a little dark, but at the same time, would you really blame him? So I'm so glad Kyle called it out. And Tim actually even did say, you know, maybe it's both of us. She did say that at one point. I remember catching that and thinking, well, thank gosh she said that. Mm-hmm. But my two biggest issues were him knowing what YSL shoes were and her saying once again that she's a Virgo because she's making Virgos like me look bad.
And she has a different excuse for being a Virgo each time. This time it was...
Jackie, I knew as soon as she said the word Virgo, you were going to be on this.
I'm so proud of being a Virgo. She's ruining it.
And I have to say, I can't wait for this week, the soup with Joel McHale, because he has been making fun of Kim all season long. And I saw his clip last week on her being like, I'm a Virgo, I'm a Virgo. And so I can't wait for his clip this week. He has this, like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but he has this, like, character that plays Kim and like says these ridiculous things. It's hilarious, sad but hilarious. But I have another question for you guys about Kim's second appearance in the bathroom in the episode. She was in the bathroom for an insanely long time at the end of the episode, and Ken kept knocking at the door, and she kept saying, "Leave me alone, leave me alone." And at one point, a woman needed to use the bathroom, and Estella tried to get her out, and finally Estella did. And I wish I knew what Estella knows, because either she was doing drugs in the bathroom again, and it's so funny how sad, not funny, but sad that she was like, why does everyone always bother me when I'm in the bathroom? Why is everyone always asking? And it's like, because you're spending 20 minutes in the bathroom, most likely doing drugs. But I have a question here, because in the beginning of the party, she made some comments about how she took that vibrator that she thought was a pen in her purse and then whispered to her manager and was like, I'm going to use this in the bathroom later at the party, which was like weird and sad on its own. But is that what she was doing, or was she doing drugs, or what was she doing in the bathroom the second time?
I have no idea. Like, I don't understand why she was so amused by that vibrator and why she thought it was such an interesting story. I thought it was such an inappropriate thing to bring to a party and to keep bringing out of her purse and talking to people and telling them about it. And I thought it was gross. But that's my same question. I have no idea what she was doing with it.
She was just getting her makeup done, and she's like, I thought this was a lipstick. It was in my drawer. I don't know what it was. And then look what it is. It was just a strange interaction. I can never understand what she's thinking, particularly in yesterday's episode. And then there was a lady with red hair and in like a lavender dress. Was that her publicist or her manager? Did everybody see that scene where somebody was trying to pull her?
Her manager.
I don't know. Her manager to take pictures. I feel bad for that woman. I really do. I mean, you have this, if you think about it, she's an amazing client. Not what we've seen on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but we're talking about a woman who was the face of Disney when she was growing up. Mm-hmm. She's been in countless movies, and, you know, you're her manager, and now you're dealing with this. I mean, you can't book her for anything because she's a loose cannon. It was just such an awkward season. That whole vibrator situation just was like... so weird. I mean, yeah, I haven't got one to a party in years. Yeah. Honestly, it's what she's doing in the bathroom is, you know, like as unlikely for us to ever find out as like what the real deal is with Taylor and her million past lives. I mean, it's just like
there's just, I'm so clueless when it comes to this stuff. So I wish I could figure it out. I like to believe that nobody ever takes drugs.
Yeah.
How sad is that? So, you know, it's really scary, but can we not forget to mention everybody, her saying how she thinks she's pregnant? I mean, we cannot let this podcast go through without mentioning that. I mean, that is like the icing on the crazy cake. Like, really. Thank God her sister said, you know, maybe it's menopause, hello, because that to me was almost as insane as the Real Housewives of New York when, who was it on there that
Ramona?
They thought they were pregnant too?
Ramona.
Oh my gosh. What is with this pregnancy thing? I mean, come on.
Well, Ramona is older than Kim, so it, like, could be a slight possibility, but I highly doubt it. I'm sure it's menopause. But
in Kim's case, could it also be...
She was like, I don't want a kid. Maybe a puppy. Maybe a kitty, but not a kid.
But in Kim's case, could it also be, like, all the medications or drugs or whatever it is that she's taking that could have an effect on her body and her cycle? I don't know.
I'm sure.
Well, let's finally turn to Taylor, who we didn't talk too much about last week because...
Wait, before you guys continue, Mari,
yeah.
Before you guys continue, since we're on the topic of bathrooms, I just completely on topic but off topic. For those of you listening, by the way, we made a huge switch. No longer are we streaming on Ustream or any of those sites. We got a complaint that it was too many dashes and slashes and things. So we're now exclusively on AfterBuzzTV.com. And it's actually very exciting for me because I get to track who's watching where. And so for our Norwegian fan, guy from Norway, shout out to you. It's very exciting. And so as you're listening to this, we only have one commercial. And the reason for that is not so we can kind of shove anything down your throats. It's more of so these guys get a break. Now, in the case of Jackie, Pamela, and Mari, they don't have to go to the bathroom because they're not in studio. But someone like Jessica may need a break from all this talk. And so that's why we use the bumper as an opportunity for hosts to go to the bathroom. And the point is
not enough time for a girl to go to the bathroom.
All right. See, so we're
quickie
even
quickie bathroom break.
So we're pretty mean, but the point is we don't do a lot of commercials because we don't like that. We know fans don't like that, and so hey, all we ask for in return with all the things that we're giving to you guys is to spread the word. You know, these guys are great. I've had the opportunity of listening to these guys on many shows, whether this one. They did Real Housewives of New York for those of you who are fans. And by the way, they just did the Pamela and Jackie just did the Golden Globes. So check that out. I'm sure you guys listening right now are fans of fashion. You don't want to miss that. So I'm just saying, spread the word. And if you don't spread the word, you're not a very good friend to your friends. So that's all I'm saying, right? And on to you,
Mari.
Spread
the word and let your friends go to the bathroom.
There you go.
Thank you for your very important announcement, and thank you to our fan in Norway. For listening. But hopefully you are ready to listen to all the Taylor drama, because I'm ready to talk about it, because I have a lot to say, mostly because I thought it was totally inappropriate. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised at this point, but she basically has a very intense therapy session in the middle of Lisa's party. First of all, I'm surprised Lisa never said anything like, wrong time, wrong places is my restaurant opening.
Exactly.
But literally all the girls except for Kim in the bathroom had this insanely intense, dramatic therapy session in the middle of the party. And I didn't think it was right. The only thing I will agree with here is I do for once have to applaud Taylor, because she really stepped up to the ball and apologized. She apologized to her friends for putting them through the mess. She apologized to Camille for threatening the lawsuit and for telling her that she was putting her in danger. You know, she stepped up to the game. She apologized, and I have to applaud her for that.
You know what? I'm glad we're all on the same page today. I completely agree with what you just said. As I was watching it, you know, they started off with Taylor in her house showing Kennedy's chart, and her therapist came over. I thought they were going to have a therapy session in her house. And then I saw them get in the car. Like, I actually said out loud to my fiance, I was like, are they is she taking her therapist to the party? This is crazy. And I just thought that was so inappropriate. Like you said, they secluded themselves at their own table and had their own little session. Wrong place, wrong time. Lisa should be hosting and mingling with her guests for the reopening of her restaurant. And I have to say, as usual, I got to give it to Adrian for speaking up. Because, Kyle and Lisa wanted to kind of brush it off as like, oh, it's not a big deal. You don't have to apologize. But you know what? You do have to apologize because you made all of these accusations and you made things a little awkward between the group. And so I'm glad that Adrian stood up for Camille and, you know, told Taylor that what she had done was wrong. And you know, although it was the elephant in the room and it was a little awkward to deal with, she told her that she was making things really difficult for them to deal with. And I'm glad that they brought that to the forefront. And it was really nice of Camille to be so understanding and forgiving right away, which I had no doubt that she would, but I'm glad that she was able to get that formal apology because she deserved it.
Absolutely. Jessica, I am so glad you brought up Adrian. I love Adrian during these scenes. She calls it like it is. Here's Taylor. Okay. Here's the thing. I'll give Taylor credit for two things. She did apologize. She did own up to things. And she did apparently have bruises on her face, which is a tremendous tragedy. I will not take away from that. But here is Taylor yet again. How does she own up to things and apologize? By showing up to a party with her therapist. Like, what is she thinking? If Bravo producers did not put her up to this, I am really going to be one of those negative people and start like an anti-Taylor website like they did with the Kardashians, because that's how much she bothers me. Like, here she is. I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to own up to things. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to do it by bringing my therapist to a party, opening party of my friends. Like, are you kidding me? I cannot relate to this woman when she does things in the most fame-hungry, you know, like, they don't feel genuine at all approach. And it just makes me not feel bad for her, even though she's sitting there with a bruise on her face and she's apologizing. She just ruins it for me because she just always does things like this. And if she was really looking to be genuine, I don't think she would do it by dressing up, going to a party, and bringing everyone to the side like that. I just have to hope that the producers forced her to do this. But she agreed to it. So you can force somebody.
Okay,
I can
Jackie,
say, hey, you know, I'm on a reality show and I have to curse out everybody and say that their, you know, husband cheated and blah, 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 and whatever and so on and so forth. But you have to do it. So Taylor, if they put her up to it, she still agreed to it. So I think it's just the most absurd thing to take a psychiatrist to a party. And it was funny. I was watching the show with my husband. And he said, you know what? She brought him because she needed a mediator. And I thought about that. And that kind of does make sense because he did mediate. He spoke to her. He said, hold on, let's have the conversation. Let's hear what this one says. But this was not to go down at somebody's party. You don't do this in stilettos and lipstick. You do this at your house.
I have to say,
I need to have a serious conversation with you. Okay, fine. You're on a reality show. They'll film it. Okay, let's just look past that. This should have happened at her house. You know, doctor, what's his name? Sophie? Dr. Sophie could have been there. Everybody could have been there. They could have been the same hand-hugging and lovey scene. I applaud her. I think what she's going through is tremendous. To this day, what she's going through is tremendous. We all have no idea, of course, what she's going through. This should not have happened at somebody's party. Period. End of sentence. It was awkward to watch. I couldn't believe
that
she's getting in the list.
I have to say that I'm going to be the lone voice here, and I'm going to agree with your husband in that I think that it was all right that she brought her therapist. I will clarify that I don't think it was right that she led a therapy session with her friends in the middle of a party. I understand why she brought her therapist. She's alone. She has no one. She doesn't have her husband, and everyone is showing up to this party with a date. They have a date, and she's not ready to date yet, obviously. She just announced her divorce. And she's vulnerable and she's like alone. So she brought someone who she feels comforted by. And
I don't think anything was that wrong with that. I think it was wrong for him to then leave a therapy session, but I don't think that her bringing him as a date was that wrong. She needed moral support just to show up to this party, being in a big party for the first time since the divorce, being around cameras and the drama for the first time since the divorce. I don't see anything wrong with her bringing the therapist.
I'm sure there were other friends she could have brought. I mean, she's brought other people to parties before when Russell hasn't been able to make it, whether it was her assistant or someone else.
Honestly, you don't bring a therapist to a party. You just don't go. That's the point. It's the appropriate thing to not go to the party, to do this on a separate occasion. Only thing I will give her is if the producers contractually forced her to be there for a finale event or something along those lines. Till I see that evidence of that, I am looking down on Taylor for her approach here. It affirms everything that bothers me about Taylor this whole season.
Yeah. Well, I have to bring up Adrian here because I love Adrian. I think that she isn't very dramatic. She handles situations well, and I like what she has to say normally. But last night, I just kind of thought it was the wrong time and wrong place. Obviously, everything was wrong time, wrong place. But it was the wrong time for her to bring up to Taylor, you know, we get confused. It was hard to want to support you. And, you know, you threatened a lawsuit. We have to defend ourselves. I understand all those things. But I don't think at that moment that Adrian had to bring that up because Taylor's in a really, really vulnerable state. And I think at that point in time, she just needed support from her friends. And then maybe a couple weeks down the line or something, Adrian could say, you know, by the way, it really bothered me. I don't know. I just think Adrian came off as very, very strong. Like she wasn't even, maybe she could have said it, but maybe in a calmer, nicer way. She was like very forceful and strong in the way she said it, to the point where Taylor had to say, you don't understand because you're a strong woman. I'm not as strong as you. And like, I don't know. I just didn't think that Adrian should have brought that up last night.
I think I have to disagree with that because I think that last night was the only time that Adrian could have brought it up and could have been heard without being attacked because, you know, we always talk about how Kim's a loose cannon, but Taylor's a loose cannon as well. And we've seen throughout the season whenever other people try to bring up conversations with Taylor or speak their mind or their opinion, we've seen how she reacts and how she just blows her lid. Whether there's alcohol involved or not, she either starts crying or screaming or accusing or attacking or something. And I think that if Adrian hadn't have brought it up at this point where her therapist was there and, like you guys said, acting as a mediator and you know, kind of keeping the sanity between everyone, then I don't think she would have had another opportunity to bring that up down the line.
Yeah.
I think it would
totally
have been too awkward.
That,
down the line.
As well as the fact that she probably... Think about it. Think of how frustrated I am watching as a viewer. Think of how frustrated Adrian and the group must be dealing with this firsthand. They don't know what to believe. Oh, so here she is showing up to a party apologizing. They think she's going to go right back to Russell. They don't know what to believe. So I don't blame Adrian at all. I think she represents the frustration on an even higher level because they're dealing with her firsthand with all of this back and forth craziness that is Taylor.
And this is probably something that she's wanted to say for so long now, you know, because like we've mentioned before, we don't know what the order is of them filming all this stuff, but they've probably all wanted to mention this since the whole Camille incident, and they haven't been able to with Russell threatening a lawsuit and all the drama that ensued in between those events. And so now that, you know, Taylor says she's leaving Russell and whatnot, this is, I think, the only time that she can really speak up. Adrian could speak up, that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that she could have done it at another time. I don't think it was the only time. I think that she could have gone to her house and talked. But I don't know. I just, obviously, I think it was a little too soon for Taylor to be talking about any of this. I mean, the bruises on her face are still fresh. For her to be talking about all this with her friends, I think just isn't right for her vulnerable state. But we do have some news and gossip to get to, so why don't we go to a quick commercial break.
Quick
and
pee just, break.
If you're quick, you can go to the bathroom.
Girl's got to pee.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so in Taylor news, apparently her friends are urging her to go to rehab. I don't know if you guys saw this, but last Thursday night, she was seen leaving Craig's restaurant in West Hollywood, and she was sobbing, and there's like pictures of her with her jacket over her head, and she's sobbing, and her friends are urging her to go to rehab. They say that she's been drinking every day, and reports also say that Bravo Sex has issued an ultimatum. Either go to rehab or get axed from the show. I don't know. What do you guys think? Does Taylor need to go to rehab? Does she need to follow in the footsteps of Kim?
Why would she not go to rehab? Her husband just killed himself. That doesn't make sense to me that she wouldn't go to rehab. But I'm sure now that if Bravo really gave her the ultimatum, that she'll for sure go. If it means she can't be on the show next season.
That's true. I'm surprised Bravo gave her the ultimatum, though, because they let Kim get so bad before when.
Maybe they're learning their mistakes. I'm just surprised people would rather listen to a producer, their family, and really love them. And why can't, like I said, why can't a Bravo say, hey, you know what? You're not coming back. Just period. Do them a favor and say, you know what? You're not coming back.
Hey, Pamela?
This is my gift to you.
Hey, Pamela, do me a favor. You're breaking up on this line, and so for the benefit of everyone, do you mind if you hung up right now and called back to the show to hopefully get a better signal?
No worries.
All right, thank you.
I bet Bravo...
And now, Jackie, what do you think about Taylor?
Oh, I think they're definitely trying to, you know, handle this properly so that they feel like they're not the worst people in the world
exactly.
for like allowing all of this to be filmed and, you know, seeing what's going on with Kim. You know, maybe they're stepping in here and trying to actually help a little bit here.
I was just going to say that because they got caught under so much fire for the whole situation in general when Russell first passed away and, you know, they went ahead and aired the show anyway. So I feel like they're walking on eggshells now.
And now do we have Pamela back with us so she can give her spin on Taylor and rehab?
Not yet.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next item of news and gossip. Obviously, everyone saw this. It was hard to miss that the Golden Globes, Kelsey Grammer announced that he was having twins with his wife, Kate. And apparently, Camille was just as dumbstruck as all of us. And she found out watching Golden Globe. She has not commented on this, but apparently sources say her and the kids had no idea, and they found out about it from media reports. She hasn't commented on this, but Camille recently did talk about how upset she is when Kelsey publicly discusses their private life. She said, quote, "It's so unfortunate that he still talks about private matters. It's hurtful to me and it's disrespectful to our children. He's not thinking of the kids when he's doing stuff like that. My daughter is 10 years old, so she's able to watch. She's aware of what's going on. She hears it from her friends at school, but my son is too young. He's still only 7. Still, I think it's disrespectful." And while I totally agree with Camille here, I do have to say it goes both ways because her daughter's 10 years old and her mom's on a reality show. And while Camille has come off much, much better this season, like, she was on the reality show last season and she came off terribly, and I'm sure her friends at school were talking about that just as much. So, I don't know. It goes both ways there. But I do feel bad for Camille.
You know, working at E!, I was unfortunately stuck at work all weekend, and we didn't get the day off on Monday. So as we were covering all the red carpet stuff, we saw Kelsey Grammer and his wife on the red carpet. And of course, no one knew that she was pregnant from the get-go. And so emails immediately started swirling around. Is she pregnant? Oh my gosh, confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. And everyone was just in complete shock once they confirmed it. So I can't imagine, you know, for Camille, who's actually his ex-wife, to like find out that way, the same way that me as a stranger found out. That's awful. Yeah. But I must say, you know, my opinion of Camille has completely changed from last season, because like I said, last season, I did not like her at all. And this season, I've definitely, she's definitely grown on me, and I've seen a softer, way more likable side of her. So I definitely, I'm feeling a little bad for her, because that's a horrible way to find out on television, like everyone else.
I thought what he did was despicable. I mean, it was just absolutely disgusting. Forget about your ex-wife. Think about your children. He said, here's to the future. And it was disgusting. I feel like every single person in that audience probably had, in the Golden Globes, sitting in the studio, just felt disgusting about it. Oh, I hated it. I thought it was so tacky. For a man who prides himself on class and intelligence, I thought it was just unintelligent, unclassy too.
Yeah, I have to agree. I see what you're saying, Mari, that could go both ways, but either way, that doesn't change the fact, like Jessica and Pamela are saying, that she found out like everyone else on TV. That's like a bad feeling.
Yeah. And finally, I don't know if you guys caught this on the Golden Globes, or Pamela and Jackie talked about Kyle in your style special, but Kyle was for The Insider, which she did a little interviewing on the red carpet. She tweeted, quote, just went past Madonna and Angelina Jolie, who they were wearing, and got so nervous I forgot what they said. Personally, I didn't like what Kyle was wearing. Normally, I love her style on the show. I think it's so chic. I don't know. I hated that red dress with the dramatic, like, trying to pull off the old school Hollywood glamour waves. I just think it made her look old. I don't know. I just didn't like what she was wearing.
I agree. Right? I wasn't a fan of dress, and I'm a huge fan of Kyle. I want to know who her agent is, because that woman is everywhere. I don't know if anybody saw yesterday's commercial for TurboTax with Kyle. Did anybody see that commercial?
No.
She was in the new TurboTax commercials at the spa. I mean, it's hysterical. It's so perfect, Beverly Hills. She's all over New York today. She went straight from the Golden Globes, straight to New York. She was on Z100 here in the morning. Then she was on Channel 4 at 3 o'clock. She's on something else tonight. Nonstop with the book. I want her agent's number. They're doing something right.
All right, well, that's what we have for our news and gossip this week. Let's get into some predictions for next week. It's our finale. I can't believe it. I'm pretty sad about it, but let's get into some predictions. All right, so finally, the wedding is here. I wasn't sure if we'd be able to see it this season, just because they've been leading up to it and leading up to it and leading up to it. And I don't know, normally their finales, normally just the Real Housewives in general, their finales are the most dramatic. I'm hoping for Pandora's sake that that's not the case. I mean, from the preview, I didn't see any drama. I just saw wedding planning and excitement and Kevin, who I hope that we'll have back on the show. I'm plotting to get Kevin, the ridiculous and hilarious and fabulous wedding planner back on the show for the finale to discuss all the wedding details. But, I don't know. I didn't see any drama. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be the most over the top, crazy, insane, gorgeous wedding. Kevin I'm sure we'll see Kevin and Lisa bump heads, as we've seen throughout the season. They seem to kind of disagree on a few things because Kevin is so fabulous and he thinks it's a $1 million wedding. And although I'm sure it is, Lisa for some reason likes to keep saying that it's not. But I'm fully prepared to, as someone who's planning a wedding myself, I'm fully prepared to buy a carton of ice cream and cry about the wedding that I wish I could have that I could never afford. So it should be a great night.
I think it's going to be the perfect mix of the fairy tale wedding. You know, as women especially, we know we love watching a great lavish wedding. And then they're going to do the Taylor drama, you know, getting back together thing. And so it'll be the both ends of the spectrum.
I'm looking forward to breaking down the fashion to each woman her own.
And I must say, I can't wait
to see the wedding dress.
I hope Pandora, yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's okay with it because she seems so easygoing, but throughout this whole process, it seemed much more focused to be Lisa's wedding than Pandora's wedding. Sometimes I forget that Pandora's the one that's getting married. So I would be kind of sad if I was the bride and the attention wasn't even on me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Pandora seems pretty fine. I just seriously hope for her sake that there is no drama. I don't even think the women should have been invited to the wedding in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that Ethan might want the wedding filmed for the show, but I just hope that everything goes happy and smoothly. But thank you girls all for joining me, and I look forward to chatting the finale with you next week. So all of our fans, including you listening in Norway, please tune in same time, same place next week.
Yes, and again, that's AfterBuzzTV.com from now on. And from there, we just made it easier. You want to subscribe? By the way, you know, if you're listening and you don't know the whole iTunes thing or how it works, you just have to subscribe once, and then anytime we finish up an episode, you'll get it'll automatically download to your iPhone, iPad, iTunes, whatever you got. So, making it easy, right, guys?
As easy as
definitely.
That. All right, guys. Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.